You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. This is your WLCX Daily News Roundup for the Eagle 1490 AM in La Crosse.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa south of La Crosse is now scheduled for closure and demolition later this year. The Iowa DOT said that the Lansing Bridge, also known as the Blackhawk Bridge, will stay open until this fall. Then, it will be closed and demolished to make way for remaining construction on its replacement. The 94-year-old bridge was closed twice in the past 2 years for structural issues. Construction on its replacement began 2 years ago, and the new bridge is set to open in 2027.
The Veterans Housing and Recovery Program provides temporary housing, job training, and resources to veterans facing homelessness. It operates 3 short-term housing facilities across the state in Chippewa Falls, Green Bay, and Union Grove. Governor Tony Evers added almost $2 million in his budget proposal to keep funding the 3 sites, but Republicans removed it and gave the program $0 in new money. That's forcing the housing centers in Chippewa Falls and Green Bay to close. Evers says the Joint Finance Committee was warned by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, the nonpartisan, basically accountants of the legislature, that this would happen if they didn't invest more money. Evers called the move irresponsible and says he'll keep fighting for veterans. And when the legislature is back in session this fall, veteran services will be a top priority. The Chippewa Falls and Green Bay locations will close September 30th. Veterans there will be offered alternative housing. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Child care providers in Wisconsin say the state budget doesn't do enough for children in the state. With more, here's Civic Media's Parker Olson.
The new state budget spends over $360 million to stabilize Wisconsin's child care system. It was a key demand for Governor Evers in budget negotiations with Republican lawmakers. The state funding comes as federal funding has run out. The pandemic-era relief program, Child Care Counts, has sent out its final payments. But providers say the state budget still falls short. Outside the state capitol on Friday, they described just how fragile the industry remains.
This week, I experienced one of the most difficult moments since opening. My entire staff has resigned. For 6 months, I've been trying to hire new teachers, but every qualified candidate needed a starting wage of at least $17 per hour, a rate I simply cannot offer without additional funding.
That's Ashley Blackett, owner of Tiny Diney Academy in Durand, Northwest Wisconsin. Advocates say the industry is being squeezed on 3 sides. Child care is too expensive for families, too costly to run, and pays too little to retain staff. The new 2-year state budget directs money in multiple ways, to parents, to providers, and to systemic fixes. Governor Evers has declared 2025 the year of the kid and said he wouldn't sign a budget that lacked child care funding. The budget also increases special education reimbursements, though not as much as advocates wanted. Last year, voters approved a record number of school district referenda, raising local taxes to make up for education costs. That's according to a report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Corrine Hedrickson, who runs Corrine's Little Explorers in New Glarus, says that kind of pressure could backfire, especially given the way the budget is being sold by the education governor.
And as soon as the schools start raising property taxes, the community no longer trusts the people that they thought they trusted. And it's not the politicians, because they don't trust the politicians the way it is.
Demonstrators also delivered a letter to the governor's office Friday, saying he should call the legislature into a special session for more funding. For Civic Media News, I'm Parker Olson.
Senator Tammy Baldwin was in Wisconsin this weekend to talk about the impact of cuts to Medicaid, such as Badger Care, in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
The budget bill recently signed into law by President Donald Trump included drastic cuts to Medicaid. Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, who voted against the bill, said the fight for Medicaid is not over.
It's not the last act that Congress will ever take. And we will have future opportunities to fix some of the problems. But that will only happen if pressure on those who voted for it is such that they are hearing from their constituents that this was a mistake and that Congress needs to repair it.
Baldwin made her comments in Green Bay Saturday as she toured Amplify Bell & Health's ER department. Co-chief clinical officer Dr. Cynthia Lasecki said when people don't have health coverage, they end up using emergency rooms as primary care providers.
Even without health insurance, people will still need care. When they cannot afford it, those costs get shifted to everyone else, driving up the total cost of care. It is a lose-lose for our patients and communities.
Baldwin says about 270,000 Wisconsinites will have their health care terminated as a result of the budget bill, costing Wisconsin hospitals $264 million a year. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
The biennial state budget was rushed through earlier this month in part because of an effort to lessen the impact of federal Medicaid cuts. Despite a jump at the pump statewide, La Crosse gas prices have stayed consistent this past week, 15 cents below the statewide average. With more on gas prices, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Average gas prices increased over the past week, rising 7 cents per gallon to land at $2.99 on Monday. This is 6.7 cents higher than a month ago, but a little over 29 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddies say gasoline inventories remain just below average as we're approaching the midpoint of the summer driving season. If there are no major developments with the renewed tariff discussions, the national average price of gas should remain in the low $3 per gallon range as it has for most of the summer so far.
Currently, La Crosse gas prices average about $2.92 per gallon. Across the river, Houston County stations are charging $3.05 to $3.08 per gallon. It was a busy La Crosse Common Council meeting Thursday. The council approved a development agreement for the former La Crosse Tribune building site to add 260 housing units and commercial space. Also approved was a measure to pay $115,000 for park and public space security on weekends, and another item to set aside $50,000 for legal fees related to the Town of Campbell's incorporation petition. Airport operating budget items and a measure to replace the La Crosse Center roof were also approved. La Crosse's Pathways Home program is receiving funding from a state grant. $350,000 was awarded to Pathways Home to hire a social worker and help with housing assistance, treatment plans, and supplies. The La Crosse County Board still has to approve the funding, which should run through 2027. The La Crosse Common Council, meanwhile, is delaying a decision for the Pathways Held Leases program due to a need for more landlords to join the initiative. They'll take it up again at August's meeting. Tuition is going up across the UW system, including here at UW La Crosse. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The system is dealing with cuts from the National Institutes of Health, the biggest public funder of research in the world, plus cuts from the Trump administration and a small increase in the state budget. But as UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin says, the budget also includes hiring limits.
This legislation poses quite significant challenge for us. We would become a potential poaching ground quickly, and we would be unable to recruit in some of the very high needs areas that we all view as a priority.
UW System President Jay Rothman says UW is still the most affordable public university system in the Midwest. Even then, Wisconsin ranks 44th in the nation for state higher education funding.
This was a difficult recommendation for me to make as well, because we're trying to balance understanding that the state supports one-fifth of our budget, about 20%. There was a time that it supported close to 44% of our budget. And as that funding has gone down for reasons that, you know, notwithstanding the increase that we got this time, that's simply the fact. And tuition has become a bigger portion of our revenue.
This is the third year in a row that students within the UW system will see a tuition increase. It'll begin in the fall. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Undergraduate tuition at UW La Crosse this fall will be $10,360, third highest for UW schools behind Madison and Milwaukee. UW La Crosse is moving forward with plans to finish work on the Prairie Springs Science Center. The announcement this week came after $194 million was included in the state's biennial budget for the project. With the additional funding, UWL will add 30 new rooms, including classrooms and labs, to the Science Center. About half of UWL's student body is pursuing a degree in science, according to Chancellor James Beebe. All four of La Crosse's Democratic legislative members voted to approve the biennial budget last week. Another hot day is on tap today. Highs today will be around 90 degrees in the Cooley region. Slight chances of showers overnight turn into better chances of rain and thunderstorms Wednesday, with the potential for an inch of rain by Thursday. Temperatures at the end of the week will be milder, with highs in the 70s for most of the area. Increasing temperatures also bring increasing rain and storm chances into the weekend, when highs will get back into the 80s. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A new champion in the Home Run Derby. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball slugger Cal Raleigh of the Seattle Mariners won the Home Run Derby in Atlanta. Raleigh with a total of 54 home runs hit. The All-Star Game going on tonight. Freddy Peralta, rookie Jacob Mizorowski, and closer Trevor McGill all there to represent the Brewers. McGill asked, where did reaching the All-Star Game rank on his list of goals this season?
This is number one for me this year. You guys asked me earlier this season, and I kept it to myself that this is what, you know, I was striving for. And a lot of hard work and a lot of pitchers in front of me, a lot of my bullpen guys in front of me, you know, putting it down and giving me the opportunity to go out there and get saves this year. So, without the guys around me, this probably wouldn't be possible.
Basketball, it's the Bucks and the Chicago Bulls tomorrow in Las Vegas in summer league action. How hard is it to build a roster these days? GM John Horst.
I think the NBA is as compelling and competitive today as it's ever been. There are genuinely 5, 6, 7, 8 teams, you know, going into a season that have a real chance to play. There are elite players on these teams in both conferences. Our young players are starting to contribute at a high level. You're going to see some of these guys pop again for us this year, just like you saw AJ Green pop for us last year. Ryan Rollins is getting ready to come. I'm just thankful that we get to kind of operate in that system and try to do things that we can.
That's Bucks GM John Horst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The summer box office remains financially healthy thanks to The Man of Steel. Superman was the top dog to no one's surprise, pulling in $122 million domestically over the weekend and almost another $100 million from overseas. Here at home, that's the third biggest opening of the year. The news was good for DC Comics as director James Gunn is also the co-head of the whole operation, so they needed this to be a winner. Rounding out the top five were all big-time blockbuster-esque films. Jurassic World Rebirth was the top dog last week and came in second place with $40 million. Big ones. In its third week of release, F1 delivered $13 million at the box office. And rounding out the fourth and fifth place were kid flicks How to Train Your Dragon, which came in with close to $8 million, and Pixar's Elio, which came in with just under $4 million. Superman is expected to top the charts again next week, as there will be no real competition until The Fantastic Four, First Steps, hits the big screen July 25th. Do I recommend Superman? Sort of. As a video, it rocks, but as a movie, I guess it's still just okay. First, the good. James Gunn keeps the action and story moving along nicely. The film relies on what we already know about Superman, his adoptive parents in Kansas, and Lex Luthor, who in this installment resembles a certain billionaire. The filmmakers choose to go right to the bells and whistles, i.e. action, music, and some stunning effects. They even introduce a character that looks like it stumbled into the wrong movie from Jurassic World. There were a few other tangential issues I had, including a couple Daily Planet reporters who didn't even need to be in the film. And with a total of about 5 lines, actor Wendell Pierce as Perry White had absolutely nothing to do in the film. But Pierce is a great actor and deserves the residual checks coming his way. The main players, David Cornsweet and Rachel Brosnahan, are great as Superman and Lois. Having said that, there is definitely enough cinematic energy in this movie to make the theater-going experience more fun than watching it at home. Everyone loves an underdog story. Sean Astin is hoping to unseat Fran Drescher and become the new SAG-AFTRA president. The real underdogs here are the Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of TV and Radio Artists Unions, who are coming off a 2023 4-month-long strike. The unions face uncertainty in the age of AI and studios who are now owned by major conglomerates. It's Rudy versus the nanny, so get some popcorn ready and hope that SAG ends up with the right leader. Actors are often perceived as narcissistic egomaniacs. Not saying those people don't exist, but actor Stellan Skarsgård is not one of them. The 74-year-old Swedish actor, who has sired 8 children, most of whom are actors, took a pay cut on the film's sentimental value so the crew could have better lunches. Skarsgård spent what equals $50,000 of his own money to make sure the crew was well fed, which he says will benefit the project in the long run. He is absolutely right and an incredible actor. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be sunny, warm, and humid today. Our high right around 88 this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear and muggy. Our low down to around 70. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
That's your WLCX Daily News Roundup from Civic Media. Subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts. Find more news at lacrosseeagle.com. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.